What up? Episode 307 of the On Deck TV podcast. We are breaking down the brand new Dreamville joint, Revenge of the Dreamers. J. Cole brought his crew to you to see what they can do and see how much they can shake up the charts. We break it down. It's only the On Deck TV podcast can do. This week's episode is brought to you by Needle, N-E-D-L. As in Needle in the Haystack, it's the free app that converts audio into text so that radio listeners can search live content as easily as they search the web by keywords. Any person with the app can add their own voice to the live search results and become instantly searchable by the words they say by tapping the microphone button. That is the Needle app. That's the sponsor of the week. We appreciate you joining us. Check out all the other podcasts on the On Deck TV podcast network, realvillemedia.com.
Absolutely, man. Realville Media, that is Full Sport Press podcast with my homies Big Jeff, J-Hove, and How Weezy. Check out their latest episode, 278, the NBA free agency winners and losers. Don't forget also Fresh for Dummies podcast with me and my homie J-Hove. Our latest issue is up. Check us out every 1st and 15th, all right? Now, let's not waste any time. Let's get to this Dreamville compilation, all right? What it do with the business is.
It is another week in the books. It's the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holla at your boy Animal Brown. If you're looking for me on social media, Animal_Brown will get you there.
I am Spike Lou on the same social media sites and follow the show page at On Deck TV podcast.
Absolutely, man. Producer M Extra was good.
It is your boy M Extra 3. M Extra 3 on all things social media. That's M-X-T-R-A 3. What's going on, fellas?
Slow motion, man. Lou, what you have on deck for the weekend?
Slow weekend, man. I got to finish up Stranger Things, repping my boy.
How was it?
T-shirt game.
Hey, don't give any spoilers.
No spoilers, though.
No spoilers. It was okay.
Okay.
Right. Of the three seasons, it's probably the worst one. Okay. I'll say that, but it's not bad. It's, if you know, it's just same vein as the rest of them. But I enjoyed that. What'd you have up for this weekend?
What I see, Spider-Man for sure. It was piff.
It was good?
Yeah, it was. I'm not going to lie, though. The first half, I was thinking to myself, okay, this ain't as better than the last one. But then the second half was so dope, like they turned it up to the max. I said, okay, fair enough. This one's on par. Easy.
That man said it was piff.
Is this, absolutely. Is this the relaunch for the new Marvel stuff?
Relaunch?
This is the end of phase three.
Oh, I thought Avengers was the end of it.
Nah, this one is.
Oh, gotcha.
Because it piggybacks off of the Avengers, right?
It is. Okay. But it feels like Avengers was the end, but no, it was actually
that's what
this
I thought,
one.
Because it's called Endgame.
Nerd alert.
Endgame.
For everyone listening.
You would have thought, yeah.
What you have on deck with, Doc?
Oh, man, this weekend was fun-filled. Random, but fun-filled. Friday, I hung out with my brother and some friends. We went to a couple of spots. Shout out to Urban Licks. The live band there was phenomenal on Friday night. Saturday, I went to the world famous Magic City.
Blew
Magic.
A bag.
And it was excellent.
Excellent.
You got some wings?
Shout out to the wings. I was just about to say, shout out to the lemon pepper wings.
Wet, dry.
Always wet. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, nothing dry. Pause.
What?
So, Jesus. Yeah, the Magic City was off the chain. Molly. It was great. Great. You know, I go there every now and then. So
I thought you were going to say every weekend. I was going to say, dude, you got to get a life.
Oh, no. Oh,
okay.
No. Every now and then. That's my first time since last year going.
I haven't been to a strip club in probably a decade.
So. Do you miss
it? Wow. Wifey has your own restriction, huh?
Do you miss
strip club, dumb overrated.
You definitely didn't grow up in Atlanta.
I'd rather go to a strip club than a regular club.
Yeah, all day.
I'd rather do that, though. Yeah, the regular club is beyond trash.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's in Atlanta. The strip club is like the regular club, really.
Fair enough. That's true. All right, man. We got some J. Cole and some Dreamville to get to.
Yes,
however,
sir.
We got a couple topics, man. Let's talk about A$AP Rocky. Now, last week, A$AP Rocky and crew were seen in a now viral video getting into a physical altercation with a man in Sweden. Now, shortly after the video made its rounds, there was a second and third video showing a more peaceful Rocky and what seemed to be an intoxicated man following the artist and crew. After several failed attempts from his bodyguard to de-escalate the situation, the resulted fight from that first video ensued. Now, Rocky is now being detained for at least 2 weeks overseas in Switzerland. Oh, excuse me, in Sweden.
In inhumane conditions.
Allegedly. And he faces up to 6 years in jail. Where do you place the blame for Rocky being in this situation?
Not to take any blame away from himself. I mean, you're an adult. You put yourself in these situations. But after watching the video, I all solely on his security. You're there to defuse the situation. He's big enough to be able to defuse that situation. This wasn't a big guy. He just seemed to be rambling. He was a drunk guy. I feel like that he should have did it this a long time. When the guy swung and hit him with the headphones, it shouldn't have been no more talking after that. Why are you following us? Like, go on and put him in a suplex. Get the police out here. Explain to them what happened, and we done. I'm not here, or if I was the bodyguard, the thought process should be, and even A$AP Rocky and employing him, bro, you're not here to politic. Like, you have a job to do. You 6'6", 300 pounds. Go on and fold dude up. I don't even know why I got to step in and be like, hey, bro, stop following us. Like, he was at one point defending his security guard. Like, why do you keep following him, bro? Like,
right.
Go on and let him. That's what you pay him for. Go on and let him be unleashed. You deal with the aftermath later. Even if your security guard were to get locked up, you're on the outside. You're the head of the organization. You got your hands on the money, so you can handle the situation a lot better from the outside, as opposed to when it gets to the point where you fighting this dude. Now you in jail overseas in inhumane conditions, you claim, and you got to go through people to get things that you need. You don't put yourself in that position. So I blame the bodyguard for letting all of that happen. What you think?
I say 99% of this goes to the fan. I'm not finna let him off the hook. He was super drunk. He kept talking about something about his glasses or his headphones
that he broke over the bodyguard's head.
Oh my god. Listen, if this happened, the only reason that A$AP Rocky is even in this situation is because he's overseas and he's a famous American. When the news first hit, they said, quote, it was a world famous artist that we have in custody.
He is.
So that lets me know. Yeah, but even just the point of even bringing that up to begin with in your little news press, Sweden, mm-hmm. that's because they were excited to have a rich American artist in their custody. Now they've got him in there for 2 weeks facing 6 years. They've got video of dude clearly being the instigator. Yep. And they've even blocked him. So apparently there's like a treaty that we have with Sweden and several other countries that where if someone in America gets arrested, then they have a representative that can come over and kind of handle certain things. They block the representative from even coming in. So, like, they're strictly doing that because Rocky's famous. He's missing hella shows because of this, too.
But that's the reason why you hire security, because all of these things can happen if you get in trouble overseas. You know that going into this. This ain't his first time over there. And the fan is a dickhead.
Clearly.
But a fan is going to be a fan. And I still feel like A$AP Rocky should not. Like, he's swinging dude around doing the suflex with. Like, yeah, no. I ain't got to do none of this if I'm walking around with this 6'4", 300-pound dude.
I'm not getting my shoes dirty for this nigga.
I'm not boxing with you. Yeah. Like, I see what you're saying about the fan. But a fan's a fan. And, of course, when you're overseas, especially an American star, yeah, they're going to try to chase that. But you know that going in. This ain't his first time overseas. He knows that he's a headline over there. So you got to be weary of that shit.
Yeah, there's no way I'm getting my hands dirty with this peasant. There's no way. I don't even know what was Rocky thinking. I mean, he was just caught up in the moment, I guess. But it's no way. It's no way. Because they don't play overseas, period.
Yeah, it's a fact. The rules are different.
A$AP Rocky's a cool dude, as we can see. He tries to be, like, he was trying to, like, diffuse it. And
right.
Come on, bro, turn around, bro. But still, the fact remains, like, I don't want to have to do all of that. I get paid to do songs and go perform. I'm not here to, like, go back and forth with some drunk fan.
But
like, that's why I got security. Otherwise, I could just walk around by myself.
Yeah, but, I mean, in all honesty, he's not going to do nowhere near 6 years.
These 2 weeks still, like, that's
well, this is what
in itself.
Right, and I'm getting to my point. I don't know if you guys listened to Flagrant 2 podcast. So Andrew Schultz, photographer, media guy, he got arrested in Sweden.
He got locked up over there.
For assault. Similar allegations. Same thing, he had to sit for a few weeks. Had to go to trial, like a quick trial, but, you know, he got up.
He was drunk and he swung at the police, though.
He swung at the security guard.
I mean, but still, like, if I'm
Rocky. But it's the same allegations.
Yeah, I don't care about it. Listen, if I'm Rocky, I'm missing. He's had a tour lined up on deck overseas, big bags that he missing out on.
Right, and again.
I'm hot about that.
That's the security's job. You also are protecting the artist from themselves. So if I hire you, you know I'm a hothead. Already, so if you see me going back and forth, just like, no, bro, like, you need to get me out of there or you need to knock him out, one or the other. But I don't want you standing beside me like, yeah, stop following. Like, nah, somebody needs to take some action besides A$AP.
I know Ferg put the petition out to get him released. he was the one that kind of was talking about the inhumane conditions. Apparently, there's like diseases sicknesses going around and shit.
He said that he was in solitary confinement because he's famous. The guy next to him, he said, was a mental patient. He was beating his head against the wall and throwing feces around. He said he is only eating apples, one apple a day, because the food is inedible.
Keeps the doctor away, though.
sick.
And that was Animal Brown.
Those are the inhumane conditions, he said. Feces.
So you're saying in 2 weeks he'll be done, he'll be tried,
I don't
be
know.
Old, he'll be back.
I mean, I didn't say that. But
I don't know. That's what he said.
I said he's not doing 6 years.
Andrew Schultz's friend wasn't famous. Nobody gave a shit.
And he
about
was
him
there 6 weeks.
There.
That's my point.
He was there 6 weeks.
Yeah, he got off light.
He said they had him in like the best prison just because. Like,
right. So he's not famous. So he got off light. So I'm thinking there's no way, unless they're trying to prove a point.
He had to wait. And the thing is, the reason why they have to stay there because you have to wait to your trial. It's not they locking you up for that. Like, they don't want you to go to America and be like, shit, fuck it, I ain't going back over there to go to court. Yeah, so they keeping you until your trial.
Until your trial. That's facts.
Yeah, interesting, man. Free Rocky, man. I know that's your man, but Free Rocky.
Never even listened to an album.
What? Flacco Jody?
I have no idea what that is.
Oh, my God. And you call yourself a host of a podcast that talks about rap.
I am. Call yourself.
All right, man. Let's move on, man. DJ Mustard, or formerly known as
DJ
Mustard.
Don't try to box Mustard in.
My bad, man. In a recent interview with Sway in the Morning, Mustard revealed that he has actually sold off half of his music catalog. He explained that he only owned a percentage of his work before 2017 and that he was offered 10 to 15 times what they are worth today. He also said that he owns 100% of his music from 2017 to current and that none of those records were in this particular deal. Put your accountant hat on, please, sir, right quick. What would you have advised Mustard to do?
I would advise him to do just as he did. Him selling those albums on the press release, it says he sold half of his catalog and bought himself out of every contract that he was bound to. Now signed only to himself, it's safe to say we can expect a lot more and a lot more drip from Mustard. So in general, being able to be free and betting on yourself, I feel like, was the correct decision in this case for Mustard. You say, hey, I'll sell you my back catalog. Y'all got that, but I'm in my bag now. I know I'm going to make better music. I can make better decisions now. I've been in the game longer. I'm better overall betting on himself. I think that was a brilliant move, and it lets him move how he wants to move. So many times we hear artists beefing with the label. They can't do this way. They can't do how they want to until you get to the stage like a Jay-Z where you're older and you really don't have the following like you had when you were in your younger stages. I think Mustard took his career by the balls, and he's doing the correct thing, and it's a lot more artists that are going to take this route if they have the catalog to be able to do so, to sell it off. I don't think he's the first person to do this, but I do think it's a brilliant move.
Nah, he got this from The Dream.
Yeah,
not too long ago,
earlier.
The Dream sold off some of his catalog. Let me run to you some of the songs that he has previous to 2017. Rack City, Tiger, I'm Different, 2 Chainz, R.I.P., Young Jeezy, My Nigga, Young YG, excuse me, Paranoid with Ty Dolla $ign. Damn. So, he's got some Feeling Myself, Will I Am, Left Right with YG. He's got a lot of heat. Who Do You Love, YG and Drake? Dude.
That was a jam.
Listen, that's all previous to this, to him owning his own stuff. So he, at the time, only owned a percentage of those. Those are big-ass records I just named, though.
Right.
He hasn't had a record on those, on that level, except with the exception of LMA. Now, obviously, that's a big-ass record as well.
Why not?
But I will say that, okay, clearly inspired from Dream, and I think people need to, they were giving him a hard time, I saw on the internet about this, like, why are you selling your stuff, that's the problem with our artists and blah, 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 blah. Yes. They didn't really hear that he only owned a percentage of the songs to begin with, and they weren't fully owned, and then they were giving him 15 times what they're worth today.
Right.
I don't know if those records will ever make 15 times what they're worth, and if they do, it's going to take 20 years.
Right.
I don't give a shit. I can take that now and invest it in some things that I got going on,
exactly.
Buy up the block, get some stocks, whatever the fuck
not
you want
to
do with it.
It's betting on yourself.
And not to mention, he bought his freedom.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than that.
Now
going forward, I own everything.
Yeah, I'm
that's
true.
That's
label
much more. That's worth much more than everything else.
Yeah,
that's a fact.
And that's what people don't see. They don't see the macro. They only see the micro in the situation.
I think this is like the LeBron James generation effect. Like, people betting on themselves, taking control of their careers. Like, you see the player empowerment with the NBA.
King James.
With LeBron and how he did that and went to Miami. And even now, you got the players taking the 1+1 deals, and I want to go here, I want to be traded here. I think it's coming down to influence a whole generation. It's going into music. LeBron is heavily influenced in music. I think Musa looks at that and say, hey, I can give you all this. I can take this money, like you guys said. I'm going to invest in this, and I can be even bigger than what the people perceive me to going to be as far as with this
game. That's a good correlation. I like that. NFL, catch up.
Here's the only problem, though. If I'm looking at what Scooter Braun just did. He just bought Taylor Swift's catalog.
Right.
$300 million.
Right.
Big dog catalog. The generations of Scooter Braun's family will eat off of that forever. Ever in a day.
Right.
So you transpose that with what Mustard did selling off some of his biggest records. Mm-hmm. You can't help but be like,
no.
I would rather read about him buying somebody's catalog or his own.
Well, I mean, that's what the play is for, though.
Yeah, that's a different.
You make the play so you can make the Scooter Braun play in 20 years. Mm-hmm. You give me this. See, with anything, you build it up to get it bought so you can do other things like
that's
you
business
want.
For sure.
You know, so. I built this up. I built Mustard up to this. Now, 20 years later, we should be hearing about Mustard coming to buy a catalog or whatnot, because I do think that he has a nice business mind. I've heard him talk before.
Yeah.
He seems like a grounded guy. He makes good business decisions. He surrounds himself with good talent, and he's talented. So I think like this is the beginning of big things for the next generation with Mustard leading ahead.
Yeah, I don't want people to jump off a cliff and see that they saw him sell his royalties. And
think he's going broke. Right. Yeah. Try to put a Dame Dash and say, oh, like Dame.
Right.
Like,
nah, selling his shoes and shit.
Yeah, exactly. People are.
And first of all, don't do Jay-Z any kind of way. Trying to get his all LeBron credit, dude. Jay-Z, when he buying masters and buying back albums and the importance of that, he did that when he talked about Reasonable Doubt in his catalog. So put some respect on Hov's name.
Jay made it a high line. Brian made it a high song.
Kiss
to
my
take
ass.
It from Hov now. he made it like. This new generation is all about, like, I want to do my own thing.
Yeah.
I want to go to work.
Most recently, too, 21 Savage owned his own shit. 2 Chainz.
Yes, he bought
his Brown.
Recently. Chris Brown just bought himself out.
Yeah. So, it's a smart play, and hopefully people are learning from MC Hammer's mistakes and shit. Mm. Whoever else didn't own their shit and got raped, TLC. We learning. We would not repeat that shit.
All the bad boy.
All of all of
everybody
bad boy.
On bad boy.
Shout out to Mustard though.
Cash Money.
Young Dijon. All right, let's take it to New York. 50 Cent. The NYMC has been very active on social media, seemingly now more than ever. He took to IG to do some reflecting on his career, saying, and I quote, "Some people are not built to make it. Their habits and instincts will pull them right back to struggle. You put them on, they fuck up the package," end quote.
Mm.
Now, when somebody commented for clarity on whether he was sending shots at his old clique, he responded, quote, "Do you realize G-Unit only did 5 shows together without me? In 16 years, every time you saw them together, it was for my show. They messed up the whole package," end quote. Fair or foul, 50 airing out the unit.
That's foul.
Like,
I feel like the 50 is doing everything that he can to stay relevant, if it means shitting on his former bandmates, if it means making a mockery of friendships that he had. Like
bandmates.
Yeah. G-Unit was a band, wasn't it? I feel like that he just does all of this shit for attention, and it gets old, it gets stale, in my opinion. It's entertaining to a lot of people, but he can't sit there and say, well, you guys fucked up the package, I put you in a position, when it's documented on the paperwork that he's being petty. Like, people have tried to get out of their contracts with G-Unit. People have tried to do other things, and he's blocked those things. He's put a block on them putting out music and being able to make money from it. So you're saying, I want you guys to go on tour without me so I can get paid from that too? Nigga, fuck you. like he's manipulated in a way to make it look like I gave these niggas a chance and they fucked it up, which is true.
And he did.
But as a leader, you have to take responsibility amongst yourself to be like, shit, did I put them in a position to really prosper? Or did I just say, well, I'm doing it, you should be able to do it. Some people, everybody don't learn the same way.
Yep.
So for him to sit back and just point fingers and be like, well, you should have been able to do this without, I feel like, giving them the proper blueprint to do so. Like, the things that he did in the situations that he put G-Unit in while he was popping, you can't do songs with other people, you can't do this, you can't do that. He made them outcasts. He made them blackballed. And now he's coming back and saying, y'all fucked up the package. No, you fucked up the package.
Yeah, that's an argument, whether it's fair or foul. Here's the thing that's tricky. It's hard. I'm always torn when people get to airing shit out when what they're saying is facts. whether it's foul or fair. That's because what he's saying is factual. I've heard him tell stories of when they were in their heyday and they were all supposed to be on one accord, people showing up to meetings, people showing up to photo shoots, and they got on Nikes and they ain't got the G-Unit shoes on. They left their shoes at the house.
Right.
Like, small details like that is what separates someone like a 50 from someone like a Tony Ayo or a Young Buck. They're not paying attention to that small, to those small things, to where you're all on one accord and you're moving as a, no pun intended, unit. So he's speaking back then, not necessarily now. Yeah, now he's probably got some spite in him. He's blocking Buck's contract. He's blocking a whole bunch of other shit from happening. But he was giving them the blueprint. As a matter of fact, the blueprint was right in front of their face. So for none of them, no one to take off at least a little bit from that launching pad is a shame. And they all most of their hit records feature him on the damn hook or bridge. So it's a little disappointing, and maybe everyone's not built for that. Like, that may just be the point of the fact of the matter. And again, if he's saying that and it's truthful, I'm not sure if I feel necessarily right. Foul that he said it.
Right. I mean, let's keep it a buck. No pun intended. niggas is lazy. They were lazy. And you can, I mean, come on, man. 50, you know, put him, you know, got him out of nothing, made him pretty much overnight for them. Not 50. 50 not overnight, but he brought them like, oh, come with me.
Right.
And, you know, they didn't have the work ethic. People talk about Lloyd Banks all the time.
Yeah,
he
says that.
They didn't have the work ethic. You know what I'm saying? So him pointing out that they only did 5 shows together without me, that's important. Bananas. That's crazy. How do you only do 5 shows without 50 Cent? It doesn't matter what percentage he gets. I don't care about any of that.
It do, though.
No, it doesn't. Like, it goes to your credibility as an artist. It goes to how you love your craft. It goes to all of that. And you not wanting to be a part of what you love to do. And that's the same thing. If somebody get a percentage, I'm not going to block my bag. That means I not get paid at all because they get a percentage. That's dumb.
Yeah, people can taint what you love. And people will, some people will allow you to do that. I don't think that any of those guys were mentally as strong as 50 Cent. And that's not their fault. That's not 50 fault. Mm-hmm. And I do think that if you are a leader with what you said about the G-Unit shoes, if you see me showing up in Nike, what do you do? Like, it's your job as a leader. You can say.
No.
I'm saying you can say these things and then turn around 10 or 15 years later and say these guys didn't do this. But if you call yourself the leader and you put yourself out in front and you have an expectation, then you need to relay the expectation to your team. You can't come back and say, you guys didn't do this. I have this expectation. I carry myself this way, and you guys are looking at me, and I expect you to do this. Everybody's not like that. You can't. If you are the leader, you have to find different ways to communicate with your team. You can lead by an example. You can pull some to the side and tell them, but you have to make everybody's on the same accord. So if it's your job to do that. So if you coming out 10 years later saying, man, this didn't work because we weren't all on the same accord, who was the leader of the group? It's your job to do
it. It depends. Yeah. It depends. Well,
you should have a lot of bail.
Because we're going on a lot of unknowns because it's only coming from one side, to be fair. So, and yeah, if it is 50 job to make sure that they do know, hey, come like this, come like
if
this.
If you're
going to
complain
like
about
this.
It.
Like, but we don't know if he said that or not. That's the thing that we're missing. We don't know
if he told
that
them and they kept doing it.
Right. We don't know that.
We don't know that. But if you're going to come and complain about it, I think he needs to get more context because all of this looks like to me. It looks like to me the people that followed you failed. The one that was there and had talent as well, Game, and went and did his own thing. If they had did that, I don't know that they would have been just as successful as Game. They followed him down that path. He left and he was able to be successful. So I don't know that it wasn't 50.
But the thing is, I'm glad you brought up Game. Game was never lazy. Never. It doesn't matter if he was with 50 or not.
I'm from the same city, but I seen him do work. I ain't saying that he's the most. He has the biggest work ethic, but I wouldn't call him lazy. He was on every record.
You're talking about one person.
That's an example. You just use Game, one person.
Right, but I'm saying, but nobody worked as hard as Game outside of 50 Cent. That's a fact. You can see.
I think the Game separated himself from 50 Cent earlier than the rest of the group. That's why he was able to be successful. It did have something to do with his work ethic.
Yeah, a lot.
But I don't think that he outworked the rest of those guys that significantly to still be popping now.
How dumb?
And they not.
How dumb can you be to show up to a photo shoot in the shoes other than yours?
Yeah, that's why, Captain.
As
obvious,
a leader,
though.
Do I have to scream at you?
See, y'all are speaking from a place of that registers to y'all. Everybody don't think like y'all. It's your job as a leader. If he show up, okay, he might piss you off or whatever, but you still got to say, hey, bro, you can't wear them.
And he did. Like, I'm sure he did.
Now, that's the
thing
what's
we don't
the
problem,
know.
Though?
That's the thing we don't know. The thing is,
everything understood don't need to be explained.
Yes, it has to be if you're going to get mad about it. You can't get mad at a nigga for like. If you're gonna be like, damn, bro, you rocking.
You never
stopped
making a band,
huh?
Puffy got mad because they didn't
those
understand.
Those were kids. He was trying to turn them into stars, and that's
same
cool.
Thing.
Puffy is trying to teach them how to be something just like same Buck thing. Was. But these people are more established, and you have to take. I feel like
they're established. Why?
I don't know what you mean.
Because of 50 Cent.
Yeah. Cool, and it's his job to teach them. I can give you fish,
bro, I can't lead you to water. I was just about to say
exactly.
I can't make you drink.
Exactly. So if he's telling them these things and they're not able to put that into effect,
then that's on them.
That's on them.
Yeah.
But it sounds like that's not what happened. Is how he said.
Well, we don't know that part. That's the part we don't know.
Sounds like that is exactly what happened.
But people on record saying Lloyd Banks would disappear. I think he moved to like Florida or something.
Didn't he have like family issues?
Yeah, I think something happened.
So there are caveats to each situation. All I'm saying is 50 may have a point, but I don't think he's being fair to each and every case.
Let me ask you a question.
That's possible.
Let me ask you a question.
He's just trying to be funny.
Yeah, I get 50 is trying to be funny. However, is 50... Look at every main artist who ever had a crew, right? Mm-hmm. The only job of that main artist is to get your foot in the door. The rest is up to you.
Yeah.
The rest is up to you. Biggie said that. Jay-Z said that. T.I. said that. Every main artist who
None
had
of them
a crew.
Had successful artists, though. But RZA sit and wrote everybody's first album from the Wu-Tang.
That's not what I'm talking about.
What are you talking
RZA about? And Wu-Tang came on together. I'm saying an artist who was already established, who had a crew come behind them. They were trying to put their friends on. Mm-hmm. That's what 50 was doing.
Right.
All I can do for you, that's like me hooking you up with a job. All I can do is get you the interview.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to you to knock the door down.
Right.
You can't. 50 held up his end of the bargain. That's my whole point.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though.
It's just cut and dry like that.
And not being able to put no shows together like that doesn't make sense. At worst, you need, if I'm Buck or if I'm Banks, we need to be together like, hey, let's go. Somebody, there's one of them, needs to be like, hey, we need to put together this G-Unit tour situation over here in the East Coast.
Exactly.
It has to take somebody other than 50. You could argue they might have got comfortable because they
were
used
exactly
to
what happened.
To pulling the strings and shit, but... At some point, but then again, to be fair, this also happens a lot of times, though. This happens with what you want to do, Nelly and the St. Lunatics. Yep. You want to do Grand Hustle. You want to do
Junior Mafia.
BSC.
BSC. Like, it happens a lot. And so,
who is BSC?
Where there's smoke,
PS.
There's fire.
Oh. Yeah, I mean,
where there's smoke, there's fire. And everybody ain't built like how a 50
group
is.
Most of the time will never be as famous as the main act, the main star that came out.
But the group can make money. They can make money. If they do the right thing.
G-Unit made money. They just didn't make as much money as they should have.
Yes.
like I say, you guys may be right in what you're saying. I only disagree with you in the fact that 50 is he's the pot calling the kettle black. It ain't they fault. I don't feel like that it's their fault that they only did 5 shows. He created scenarios where this wouldn't have worked. Like I just feel like he created a toxic environment where even them going off trying to do work by themselves, could you imagine? Him going to thisis50.com and what he would have tried to say, these niggas trying to book a show without me. Yeah, like this nigga denying his own son. Like,
come on. This is
speculation. No, I'm just saying this is the person that he is.
But this is pure speculation.
Even if it was all of his fault, he still would get on there and say the same thing, is my point.
To your opinion. That's opinion.
I mean, yeah. We don't know.
This is speculation.
Yeah, we don't know that.
Just based off his history. That's what I'm basing.
But
the 50 that I've seen.
Yeah, his history of bringing making his homeboys millionaires. That's what he did.
Can you imagine? That's just them not showing up to the photo shoot with the shoes on. It's just one story. Can you imagine if you sat down with 50 and was like, hey, keep it real. Give me an example of a time that these niggas fucked up and didn't do something that you told them or asked them or that.
Probably millions.
Bro, there's probably 1,000. Look who we're talking about. Let's be all the way 1,000, dude. There's probably 1,000 examples of that.
Well, he picked these niggas for his crew. How about that?
And it worked.
These niggas.
That shit worked. And they made good music.
And he made them millionaires.
So, I mean,
they made good music, though.
Yeah, okay.
But everybody don't get the business end of it, though. That's
exactly.
Just not. I'm not even going to expect everybody to get the business end. That's not even fair, to be honest.
And to temper expectations, I think you got just what you were to expect to get when you put this hashtag of artists together.
No, they could have been a little bit longer.
Yeah, same thing happened.
It was 50's fault that it wasn't, though. No. Like, y'all keep glossing over the fact. No. Like, he's saying these things could have happened and this could have happened. 50's downfall and G-Unit's downfall because they started beefing with everybody. They couldn't feature on records, and the game started passing them by because they were only in their bubble. That was 50's creation. Even when Buck tried to work with artists on his second album and have all these people from the South on there, 50 didn't like that.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have agreed with him moving that way either. But they still had features and shit.
Yeah, man. Same thing happened with
Lil Bass first album didn't though.
Same thing happened with Beanie Siegel and when he left Jay, he badmouthed Jay. But at the end of the day, Jay is the reason people know you. That's all that matters. If I get you in the door, man, it's up to you. Nobody can put that drive in
your
back.
As long as
back.
He didn't block it.
Yeah, he didn't
block it. Now, if I'm standing right here like, hey, I put you on, but really I'm behind the scenes like blocking shit, then that would be some stuff.
And I don't think that's the case. Because he wouldn't make this statement if he blocked. Man, opportunities.
Who knows? He done pettier shit.
He's
Before we get to this break, man, let's talk Nicki Minaj. The Megatron rapper was set to perform at a Saudi Arabian music festival
what?
July 18th, but has since backed out. She was facing backlash from critics of the country's human rights record.
Our country or Saudi Arabia's?
Saudi Arabia's. Others questioned how her revealing outfits and explicit lyrics would go over in the uber-conservative environment. Now, if you were part of Nicki's new management team, would you have suggested she dropped out as well?
No. She need to do whatever makes headlines for her at this point.
Oh, like, no. Oh,
she's competing with a lot more competition than she ever has before. And I even think this is surrounded by that. This is the outrage. I don't think she had any intention of going to Saudi Arabia and doing it, but I do think that her team floated this out there to keep.
Oh, she was booked.
I don't know what you mean. Was the headline of the festival.
She was booked.
That's cool. I'm saying she was booked and all of that, but I don't think that she had any intention of ever going.
What?
I don't think that you get the backlash with it. And with that being said, I think that she's doing this to stay in the headlines. I think that she backed out of it to stay in the headlines. She has to compete with the rest of the females in the game.
You're the biggest Nicki hater in the world, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
She has to compete with the rest of the females in the game. She has to stay in the headlines. She has to do the things because she's not musically able to compete. So
what? Oh, my God.
Fam, go ahead. Feel free. Christ. Take over. Right? No, let me go ahead.
No, listen.
Oh, now you want him to go. You were breaking in every time. Go.
Listen, I would have told her. After I saw the backlash, because I'm going to be realistic, I can't expect Nicki or any other of these artists to know the political affairs of every country in the damn world. I don't know what the fuck going on. I'm too busy in the studio making records, dude. I don't watch CNN every night if I'm Nicki Minaj.
Right, exactly.
So I can't expect her to have her finger on the political pulse like that. But, however, if something was to come up and fans were to get on Twitter and start making an uproar, then you investigate what it is that they're talking about and you make a decision based on that. Is it worth the bag? Is this controversy worth the bag? And if it's not, then you back out.
Right.
But if you feel like it's just a small group of people that ain't really making no noise, okay, cool. But people were highly upset.
Yeah.
And they didn't really – and I'm not sure how she would have done – because I understand now after reading up on it, you know, the women have to walk a certain – feet. They got to cover their hair.
A lot of
women were just allowed to drive in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
In the last 2 years.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Nicki Minaj did.
How?
It was a big deal.
I didn't know that.
I mean,
she's working.
You don't watch the news.
Way more shit
you admittedly don't watch the news, though, right?
No, but
she's in tune to current events. Like, she talks about current
events. Of the country or of the world?
Of the world. That's what current events are.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Because that's a lot. So I can't expect her to know that.
A female rapper, you can't expect her to know that a country that she's going to rap
how,
in, that she's booked.
An artist.
Just let females start driving? You don't expect her to know that?
No.
No. Wow. You give artists a lot of credit when it comes to political issues.
I give artists that are in the mainstream a lot of credit because it's their job to do
no.
so. That's
no, it's not their job at all.
About.
I think it's a team.
See, the thing is.
Her team. Are you saying her team or her specifically?
Somebody told, like, I feel like that she's abreast to stuff in general, but somebody definitely told her that females or
right.
the climate of Saudi Arabia.
After she booked it. That's my point.
Man, she don't book her up. Go.
After they booked the show, and Nicki put out a statement so we can get clarification. She said, after careful reflection, I have decided to no longer move forward with my scheduled concert at the Jedi World Fest. So the whole thing, she said, well, I want blah, blah, blah. So it's more about making my support for rights of women and the LGBTQ community and freedom of expression. So going forward, I don't think she knew that all this would affect her LGBT community fans and her women fans.
Yeah, that's to my point, though. That's another reason why people were feeling some type of way, because there's no same-sex marriage. She didn't know. She's bringing that specifically up in that statement because that's what people were yelling about.
Yeah.
She didn't bring up anything that wasn't told that she saw on MSNBC or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, and she said, after better educating myself on the issues, boom, here you go.
I would be, dude, that's a lot to keep up with. Like, it's one thing, like, if you or I know that shit, that's cool. But, man, like, I just don't have that expectation.
Especially when they offer me the bag to perform. I'm going to accept at first. Then I'm like, oh.
Because, like, what country? Like, what's going on in Sweden? I don't fucking know. Like, I don't, like, who knows the political climate of these countries?
We've been at war before with the Middle Eastern countries. It's harder. There is a.
What's that mean?
Because he asked about Sweden. Like, why would we know about Sweden? We're not involved politically with Sweden. We're involved politically with Saudi Arabia. Things that go on in the Middle East are reported on the news here. And with that being said, it's a predominantly Muslim country.
Right.
So you know how Muslims feel about what you just said in general. So there is some type of knowledge that comes with taking a job in Saudi Arabia, period. Artists get backlash before Nicki Minaj, and they'll get backlash after. She thought, in my opinion, that she was going to be able to get this off either without it being anything happening and going to get the bag, or if something did happen, it's going to be a headline and they'll be talking about me for a week anyway. So it's a win-win for me. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know about a headline, but I think the backlash definitely rattled her.
Is the backlash fair, though?
Yes.
Like, does it matter that if she was to go and do a performance and then come back? Do it really matter, though?
No.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't
know. Not, Nicki Minaj is not changing the world.
That's what I'm saying. She's not co-signing the policies.
That's the same thing that Beyonce went through when she did as a Saudi prince or somebody in Dubai or something. They gave her a backlash about it too. She had to cancel the show.
So you don't think that Nicki Minaj knew anything about that?
It was a different country, I believe.
I just said I don't expect her to. It's I don't know if she actually did.
I know it's a different country, but it's the same region and it's the same reasons. You didn't know Dubai and Saudi Arabia.
I don't think
are
that Nicki Minaj.
Do you know Dubai?
I get what you're saying.
You know that.
But I don't think Nicki Minaj was up to info with all this.
You don't think she's abreast of Beyonce having any beef of going to perform over there?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that though.
Yeah,
I'm asking
you,
do you think Nicki Minaj is in the same profession? So you, like you just said before, we wouldn't know that she's in the same profession as her.
She's a person, though,
right? You're saying she's doing
this
for headlines?
She's only human.
No. I'm saying that she was aware of what happened. Even if she doesn't watch the news every day, like you say, with it happening to Beyonce in a similar area of the world, she's aware of what happened.
But Beyonce was doing
it. She just thought either it was go by with backlash or no backlash. No. And
it's a different situation. Beyonce was doing it for a private birthday party of a prince.
Damn, it doesn't matter.
It's a different situation. Completely different.
She should have done that, then. Fuck that.
This was a festival put on by promoters.
No, that bag would have been crazy.
It was crazy.
I don't even know. Did Beyonce
like $500,000. I don't think she did it.
Fuck that.
Well, I don't know. I can't recall. But
I'd have did it in just for the private little area. No pictures, no cameras.
She probably did.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
tell them we didn't.
Do that on
Book
the low.
The flight. Like, come on.
Well, I mean, it's good for Nicki for standing up for her fan base and not taking the show. I'm sure that fan base appreciates her efforts.
Probably so. I feel like, though, she's been in the news for everything but a dope record in the last 2 years. I'm going to be honest.
Hence her pulling this.
Well, she's a mega star, so it happens. Had,
yes, she is, but still a good record.
I don't think she
need
help from Saudi Arabia News to to boost her profile.
Clearly she does.
I don't think she needs that at all.
Clearly she does.
Oh, shit.
Otherwise, ain't no Nicki Minaj topics.
Yeah.
It's crickets.
Incorrect.
What's the music break, man? Who we got on here, dog?
The first music break I believe we have is Kamaya, straight out of East Oakland, stand up Bay Area, featuring Quavo and their boy Tyga.
What's
it called? Windows.
That boy Tyga.
Windows. Let's get it.
The light skinned Lil Wayne.
We are back. That was Kamaya and Crew. How you feel about the Kamaya song Windows?
This sounds like hip hop that the cast of Big Little Lies would listen to. What? Like riding up and down that little ocean property. This sound like what Reese Witherspoon would listen to as far as
hip hop. Like
I don't know if that's good or bad.
It's bad. I don't know
that show is fire. So
it's fire. And Louis can't come to the Bay Area if you don't know what the sound is.
Something that I would see them listening to.
This is
a no for me.
Yeah, it's a no for me. But I'm not gonna say like it's just like garbage or nothing like that. I'm just not listening to this.
I never said that.
I'm not riding to this.
You might as well say.
Shout out to Kamaya. I get this. If I'm ghost riding the whip,
I could see this is corporate hip hop. Like, if you take us to the office, the white guy, like Bob's, like, man, this is jamming, Bob. Hey, this is what's this?
You're not familiar with Bay Area rap?
I don't believe that.
I'm talking about this specific song.
Yeah, this is big East Oakland Bay Area rap. I love the bop. I love the sound. If you're familiar with Bay Area sound, this is what it sounds like.
This is definitely the sound.
Kamaya's verse was particularly important because a lot of people bite from the Bay and don't give them their credit. So I'm glad she called people out. It's a dope record. If you like that vibe, it's a bop.
Can you listen to a whole project of hers though?
I have her first album. It's dope as fuck.
I don't believe that.
No, it is. You should listen to it.
I've ran through bits and pieces, but the flow is a little. That flow gets on my nerves. It gets old after a while though.
No, her style.
Yeah, oh, that's okay. The only thing. Yeah. It's like ABC.
But
1,
I will
2,
have to tell you, I have to be in the mood for certain Bay Area music, and when I'm in the mood for, it, I love
like Keek the Sneak.
Yeah, yeah, all that. Yeah, I love the Bay,
Mr. Fab.
I love the Bay.
I fuck with Mozzie.
Yeah,
not really.
This music, I'm
not a Bay Area sound though.
No, it's not. That's probably why it sounds better than this.
Nah.
Shout out to the Bay.
Everybody else, if Drake puts something on a Bay Area record, your ass jumping
he'll
up
rip
and down
that shit.
It.
He'll rip that
double
shit.
Standards here with these women in hip hop. I'm gonna get them to like a women record one of these days. Everyone,
do you ever pick a record you don't like?
Or you just why would I pick a record I don't like?
Just to see what people think.
No. I'm picking them. It's my pick.
So
I like all
that's
my.
That's why
record.
You're so offended. Yeah, when we don't
I'm
like
not offended at all. I just want you to expand.
Every week, you're,
clearly, you've never been to the
every
Bay.
Every week you're offended with it. You have a long explanation about why we should like it.
Last week,
I just wanted to
every
know
week because last week y'all was on my records, and the week before that. So I don't know. What you're
I'm
about.
Not keeping count.
Yeah,
I'm
of course you're not. So it's
I'm
not
just
every
telling
week.
You what it's
we'll
like.
Go to the Bay. I'll show you how to
I
do it.
I just want
to
know your favorite song that people don't.
Now listen, hearing this in a certain environment may enhance it. Yeah, that's fair. But we're not in the Bay right now.
But I'm not going to tell it's no Monterey music. I mean, no Monterey music from Big Little Lies. Get the fuck out of here.
This is 1,000,000% Monterey music. I could see them getting hyped to this in the Levain.
Let's talk about some more Monterey music. Dreamville, Revenge of the Dreamers 3.
Oh, all the way fucked up.
Finally dropped. Long awaited, highly anticipated. Now, you know how we get down on these album reviews, man. We like to talk about our expectations, our initial thoughts, as well as our highlights and our lowlights, and then we'll have a final rating at the end of the show. First things first, low, medium, or high. Can you please tell me your expectations, Lou, going into this? With no interruptions, please.
Medium
thank
expectations.
Okay.
I felt like this was an album. The third one had the most promo that J. Cole had done for one of these albums, so the expectations on their end should have been big. Based off the other albums, I didn't think musically that it would be great. I was definitely going to check it out based off everything that they put towards it with the invitations. The documentary was good. Just the overall hype around the album got me to at least wanting to check it out. Mm-hmm. And I could say the other two Dreamville projects could come and go, and I wouldn't have known that they were even on the press to be done. So that raised the whole thing around it, raised it to medium for me.
I agree. And you know what? I'm going to say medium too, simply because I'm not a fan of the first two. I don't really remember much from them anyway. And I'm actually not that big of a fan of his roster. However, I was intrigued at the marketing of this project, though. The different artists, the different producers, doing it in a 10-day span, recording a gang of songs. I think they ended up doing 140, 141, something like that. So now the project has a story that I can at least buy into. So
they did 141 songs?
Yeah, recorded. So now, or 142, actually. So now they has a story I can buy into. So now I'm like, okay, this is something I can sink my teeth into. Even the documentary leading up to this was pretty dope as well. I watched that a couple of days before the album came out. So my expectations were at a medium level. Now, I'm going to tell you what I thought when I first heard it. My initial thoughts, first listen, I thought it was just okay. Like, I wasn't super impressed. I was almost kind of confused because I'm not real well-versed with his roster like that. Like, I've heard a couple of solo projects, but, you know, their voices aren't super distinguishable to me. So when I'm hearing all of this, like, it's a little jumbled. I'm a little confused as to who's who. That first listen, man, was like, I was like, yo, I don't know. Now, upon further review, after a few listens, the vision starts to become a little clearer. the music a little less cluttered, and I found to come to really enjoy the album. I thought it was some good-ass music on this project. I thought it was some good-ass bars, good enough beats, and it actually ended up being enjoyable, man. It's probably one of the better label compilations in recent memory. When you first thought about it, when you first listened, what were your thoughts?
When I first listened, I did as well think it was okay. There's a lot of rapping on there, and a lot of different as far as not just bars, like they giving you different styles, and you could see this in the documentary leading up to it. You could see that they were having fun. There were different rooms for different moods, and you could tell that they took a whole collection of stuff and, you know, tried to put it together. But I like the way that it flowed. I like the fact that you couldn't kind of necessarily tell who was who other than Cole and maybe people that had a very distinguished voice like the Baby and Dreezy, people that really went within their sound. But listing Dreamville on all of the records and kind of having it sound like a group thing, sort of like a Wu-Tang type thing, I think each person in this group complements each other, even down to the R&B singer with Ari. Like, each person plays a part. I wouldn't call them necessarily the Avengers, but it's a nice collective, and you can tell from the album that these guys really fuck with each other, that they play off of each other, that they were collaborating, and it wasn't. I would say if QC were to do this, you would get probably a lot of verses that were emailed in. He was at the studio, I wasn't at the studio. This right here, I could tell that they were cohesive. I could tell that they were working together. So that, for me, made it sound a little even better when I was listening.
Now, and when you look at the documentary, you can peep that. It's like, you know, when you're watching a game, a basketball game, and somebody dunk on somebody in the bench, they doing their own choreographed dance. And like, it's one of, like, you could tell they get along.
The energy was crazy.
The energy. You want to see that from your squad. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody fall down, you want to see five niggas run over to help them up. So I feel like that is what the feeling I got from this particular, the camp. So I think the documentary helped, and I'm glad it came out 2 or 3 days before the album and not a month before. You know what I'm saying? I thought the timing of that was very well put together, and putting it so close to the project. I'm going to get into some highlights because I actually do have a lot of highlights on here.
Of course.
I like that Cole was on here enough but didn't overkill it though. He didn't overshadow this, and he could have easily done so. He's obviously the biggest name involved with the camp. And I think if he would have done too much, then it would have been kind of J. Cole and friends, so to speak. Right. And I didn't get that vibe. If I wanted to kind of go on a couple of songs, I think Sleep Deprived was one of my favorite tracks on it. That shit was fire.
That's a great pick.
I thought Self Love was super dope. The last two songs made me want to run the whole album back. So I'll give them props for the order of the tracks, because PTSD and Sacrifices, immediately, as soon as Sacrifices goes off, it makes me want to start the whole album over again. So the order in which things were put together, I thought was very well done. And it's kind of surprised me. I'm still, as I'm listening to it, I'm still trying to figure out who's who all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's still a little bit of that. Right. But it's a little bit of fun at that. It kind of takes me back to the CD days when you had to read the credits. And you know what I mean? Exactly. So I'm not tripping on that, but the first listen kind of threw me off.
There's a lot of outsiders as well.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm going to get to that'll be in my lowlights too. I'm going to mention that. But what stood out to you? What worked on this album, in your opinion?
Again, the cohesiveness of the album. I think they sound like a group. It doesn't sound like a label did an album together. It sounded like they were cohesive and they were a group and they got together and they had an idea. As far as J. Cole and each person was able to run their play. Like, feel like J. Cole was a coach, put Jid in to do this. I'm going to put Lute in to do this. I'm going to bring Ari in to do this. And each person was able to do what he needed to do. Kind of like leadership, what we were talking about with 50 Cent earlier.
For sure.
I feel like J. Cole did a great job with that, putting that together. So that stood out to me. Also, what stood out to me is the tempo, just the overall tempo of the album. They weren't chasing a single. I don't feel like that they were chasing a hit. Yeah. They weren't chasing a popular sound. It was like, well, this is what Dreamville does, and you guys may be successful over there doing this, but we're going to do our thing over here. And I think that's what J. Cole is great at.
It was on brand.
And exactly. And the fact that he's able to roll out artists and stay on brand like that and have the outside artists in there that are not a part of the label and it's still staying on brand was a difficult task to pull off, and he did it great.
Yeah.
What I will say, another takeaway that I had, though, they did hit us with the okie doke, the pump fake. I feel like the invitations that went out, I wanted it to result in more big names with some of his artists. Like, I would have loved to hear Rick Ross and J.I.D. I would have loved to hear 2 Chainz and Boz just mixing in him his label with the bigger artists, hearing how they were signed. I mean, he had Tip and Vince was on there and Ty Dolla $ign, but I'm just talking about some of the bigger names that we were excited to see that were even in a Dreamville session. Crit, I would have loved to see him on his album. Just him mixing up, having big names on there with some of his artists, I think that would have kind of added to it a little bit, made the songs even bigger. So that was my biggest takeaway, kind of the pump fake that we got from the promo.
Any particular songs that stood out to you?
For me, Costa Rica is my favorite song. I love Costa Rica. You said the guy didn't sound like Swae Lee singing the hook. I think that he does.
That's Guap Dad
singing the hook, and we were debating it. I never know who it was. I like Guap Dad. He had a funny interview on Insta Reels.
Yeah, he's funny as hell.
He's a very funny.
He got to be funny with a name Guap Dad. Yeah,
very
4,
funny guy.
He's from the Bay Area as well.
He is from the Bay Area. Very confident guy. I like him. Mm-hmm. Costa Rica is probably one of my favorite songs on there. I like the slow song with Ari that she had with Ty Dolla $ign. Got me. That was banging.
Are you Dreezy?
Dreezy ripped it.
Dreezy stand out.
Love Sacrifices. J. Cole versus. Oh. Ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And the Lambo truck, like, what cause, reason, what they did to that, like,
that was crazy.
Like, that was nasty. Yeah. Like, I love that song right there. And just coming out the gate, Under the Sun and Down Bad, like, I just like how they just set the tempo with the first three songs and then kind of went into their own new music for Dreamville.
The arrangement was on point.
Arrangement was perfect.
Of the project, Real Talk. They even placed the slower songs just right. You know what I mean? Like, I give them that. M-Extra, what stood out to you on the album? What were you rocking with?
Well, what stood out for me the most was the presence of Earth Gang, particularly Johnny Venus. Man, they're really talented, and I'm glad they got to shine on this album. Guap Dad did his thing. He made sure he was felt on this album. He was on Costa Rica, and he was on the other song, the most radio friendly song they have on the album. What's the name of it? Don't Hit Me Right Now. I believe that's a radio hit. He was on that as well. So Guap Dad made his presence felt, and Sacrifices is a song that's
undeniable.
I mean, that's. Yeah, that song is crazy, and I believe it's Johnny Venus on the hook. I mean, it reminds me. Mm. One thing about Earth Gang, they remind me of Dungeon Family. It's like a blend of Outkast, T.I., and other people. You can tell the Atlanta sound in them, and that's what I like about it. So Sacrifices for sure. Cole's verse was phenomenal.
I was going to ask you who your MVP was, but it's clearly Earth Gang.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Would you say that?
Earth Gang. Jid really outshined a lot of people as well.
Did he?
Yeah, he can really rap. Like, it's clear to see that he's next up. And it's no doubt. I love the song with him and Tip. Every verse he got on, he took advantage of it. And he shows why he's next up for Dreamville. I mean, I was a little disappointed. I didn't hear much of Boss.
Right.
As far as Jid, as far as standout, it's between Jid and Earth Gang for sure.
Fair enough. What didn't work on here, Lulu? What was some of your lowlights on the project?
I did not like the Wells Fargo joint. I didn't like the interlude. I didn't like how they kind of flowed with it. That it sounded off to me.
That was the point of it, though.
I really didn't like T.I. on here.
What?
I expected more. I think that song was a waste.
Oh, my God.
It was a true value version of Girls, Girls, Girls.
Yeah,
that's what they were trying to do. T.I. verse was decent.
He killed it.
Saved the song. J.I.D. should have came harder than that. It could have been better, I feel like. And that's one of the songs that J. Cole should have been on. He excels in the female, talking about relationships and stuff like that. So he should have been on that song, I feel like, too. So if that was a couple of takeaways for me, I would say that MVP, my favorite verse on the song, the whole album, I would say, is PTSD, Dante Hitchcock. But that's my guy.
Yeah, he
really that's my guy anyway. He does that. So I would say that's my favorite verse on the whole album, from PTSD to Dante Hitchcock verse.
Yeah, I'm going to get to my lowlights in a second, but my MVP, I like what Ari did on here.
Ari killed it.
I think she's the perfect sound for that group.
That's a fact.
Like that. Yeah, like
her voice is special.
He has the perfect, obviously, you got to have the R&B person in the camp, so you have some balance to your records. She killed whatever she touched on here, and she fits in with the click perfectly.
Yeah. Is Johnny Venus R&B? What does this dude do?
That's Earth Gang, what? Right?
He's a rapper.
Yeah, that's Earth Gang.
Earth Gang.
Yeah, he was spitting too.
I thought that was him on the hook on Costa Rica.
No, that's Guap Dad. Yeah. Guap Dad is on Costa Rica.
Yeah. I will, now what I think didn't
work. Reese LaFlair, I'm sorry. Reese LaFlair, who's
he's
that?
A rapper.
He's a rapper.
He's a rapper.
Yeah, he's from, I think he's from Atlanta, actually.
He's from here.
Reese LaFlair.
What didn't work? Kendrick scared to rap on the track with Baby and Cole. What are you doing,
scared,
bro?
Scared to rap.
What is Kendrick doing?
He's just trying to let niggas live. Yeah.
Every time.
All he's trying to do is let niggas live.
How many times have we heard Kendrick?
He not trying to control niggas.
Man, wait, he did this on Swiss
album?
I'm
not trying to control verse niggas.
Man,
because if I, like, Kendrick know if he get in this bag, then he's still in the show.
The hook was great.
Instead of him just doing a hook on Dreamville, it's going to be, man, did you hear Kendrick's verse? Kendrick know that. He don't want to take away from it.
You just got through saying you would have wished for bigger name
right.
People to hop on here and jump on
their
new features.
If he don't want to rap, he don't want to rap.
Kendrick wanted to do background vocals.
That nigga name
and shit.
Ain't even on there.
That's what I'm saying. He's scared to put his name on here because he know that we was going to come at him like, bro, why you didn't rap? What the fuck is wrong with you?
You notice that Kendrick keeps running from his cold smoke.
He does. He did the same thing on Jeezy album.
He's running from his cold smoke,
like,
man.
Come on, Kendrick. What the fuck are you doing?
He don't want that cold smoke. That's what
he let me down right there.
Y'all are sick.
He let me down. Also, what didn't work, Lambo truck was a nice concept.
Control verse.
That shit didn't. That song.
What?
Bro, Reasons flow on there, and that's my guy. I think he's super dope.
I'm super shocked.
Maybe
want
to go back and listen.
That song is hard.
Now, Reason is cold. That flow he used on that song is some slaw, and I ain't like the beat. I'm gonna be honest. I ain't like the beat or his flow.
I really like Lambo truck.
That's crazy.
But I do like the concept. The concept was lit. And then it was too many indecipherable features. Like you said that that could work for you, but not for me. Bro, I didn't know who was who. Like, it's just too many.
It's only on a couple of songs it's like that.
But there's 34 artists on the album. 9 of them are Dreamville.
Yeah.
Bro, this is a Dreamville project.
But
bro,
that's the greater. That's
triple?
The beauty of it, though.
Nah, but it can also get lost in the sauce for somebody like a Boz who's actually on like 5 songs, but you can't tell.
Like 3. He's on 3 songs. Like
3?
Yeah, I think he's on like 3.
Nah, I can't tell which ones he's on, bro. Like, him, Omen, like the Kaz, these are guys who should be establishing
Loot.
Their identity for Loot. They should be establishing their identity for themselves.
Well,
Loot.
See this. So this. Well. So the issue. So Loot was on the first record. You knew that was him. And if you read the credits, it's him on the second verse.
For sure.
Omen, he stood out on the OME record. He was the only one rapping on that record.
No, they don't have standout. Like if you listen to Good Music's Cruel Summer, they all have a personality and a solo career to where you can identify. You know off top.
But that's because you know them though.
But that's the point of this project. In my opinion, that is what this should have worked as.
So
we talked about this early in the year.
I think that goes to one of my points and my takeaways from it that we could get into. I think that, to your point, even if it's muffled on this album, I think that the promo following is going to be just as important as that promo that we had coming into. I kind of think that they're dropping the ball even now. Like, I wanted to see all of these dudes together on Breakfast Club. Like, Cole ain't got to be there. I want to see all of them together
That's
on the promo tour. I want to see Dreamville's presence felt. I want to see their personalities, as you said. I want to see them out talking, interviews, having fun. They should have been on Sway. They should have been on Ebro. Like, I want to see all of those guys talk and tell their stories. Also, I feel like, nigga, Friday – it ought to be a new Loot, 6-song EP. It ought to be a new Boz. It ought to be a new Jid.
I agree with that.
Because you could go back and listen to their old projects, and they're good. But ain't nothing better than after this right here,
following
having
up.
something fire ready for it. I think that's what they should be doing. That should, and I don't know that it's not, but I one thing that I do not think that I should have been seeing the Breakfast Club interview.
But see, that's exactly what I was about to get to. Because if you remember, let's take it back to the 90s when you bought that No Limit album and you opened it up.
Roll it out and look for the Coming Soon. And that's what I'm
saying. No, when you, as soon as you opened it, the very next person who was about to drop was right there in your face. And they will be strategically placed on some of the hardest songs on that record that was in your hand to get you excited about their shit coming up next. That's how I feel. He has a deep enough roster to run it like that. You've got to be more strategic.
Well, I mean, I think they were very strategic in the marketing of this. So
the pre-roll.
Marketing,
the post-rollout.
Let me finish. The pros rollout. One, we don't know if interviews. We don't know if interviews are coming.
That's true.
We don't know if interviews are coming.
It should have been here by now.
We don't know what albums are coming. And I didn't expect them to do a Breakfast Club interview. That's not gonna happen. That's not Cole style. Cole didn't do anything like that.
Not just him, though.
You are a Dreamville fan. You flooded the group chat with 9-10 Instagrams. You know these people already, so you don't have to expect that. For the people on the outside that are trying to get to know these people that have not been anticipating the album as long as you have, a Breakfast Club interview would have completed the circle. An Ebro interview would have completed
some
the
of
circle.
Them, though.
Right. Like even, I don't disagree,
you can
though.
Even, you can even split them up. You put some on Ebro, some on here, some on what's the name of it with Fat Boy? DJ? DJ Academics, what's the name of that?
What?
I can't even Everyday think of the name of that. You can put some of them on there in interview, that's, some of them on Breakfast Club, split it up and then rotate it. That way you control the whole week. My artist's been on Everyday Struggle, Breakfast Club all week. I'm learning the stories. And now, even when I listen to it this next time, okay, Jid, I know he used to play football. He thought he was a star in Atlanta and these
things.
You
seem like you know enough about it.
I've heard him talk about it. So you start to pull this stuff in and you're like, oh, okay, this music means more to me.
Yeah. Well, I get that. And again, I wasn't finished, but we don't know where press or promo is coming from this. I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't happen, nor would I care if it happened or not, because that's just how they are. They have a core audience. And I agree with it's a great idea to get them to the masses. I agree. 100%. But I think Dreamville did a great job in doing that with the rollout, putting pictures up of everyone, tagging everyone in the pictures.
That was dope. I did like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it comes in due time. That's all.
Did anybody let you down on him?
Let me down?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, you said Boss, though. I was going to see if he's going to continue to be biased.
I mean, I didn't get enough of Boss. It's Boss. I didn't get enough of him.
I mean, that's what I mean by that. That was a little bit of a letdown. You could have
done
a couple more joints with him on there.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to see what they do post. I think Cole can remove himself and kind of just let the guys flourish now.
Yeah. Shout out to the baby. The baby ripped his verse.
I see you, boy. That's what he does, goddamn. He's the hottest rapper in the world now.
And I love Trap Cole. I want to say that. The young Rudy and Trap Cole, that's banging. Put that in my playlist. People are eating that up.
Yeah. Nah, I'm fucking with that.
Yeah.
If I had to give it a rating.
My guy Vince killed that rim. I ain't like rim back running back, but my guy Vince killed it.
Oh, Cole killed his verse.
I wasn't mad at that song. Yeah. If I had to give it a rating, I'd give it 4 reels. That's fire. I really enjoyed this project. I'm actually looking forward to listening to it, to running it back. I think you can let it go from top to bottom. I did like what I heard from Earth Gang. I know that they had their solo song on there or whatever that they said.
Yep.
It's listed as a sample or some shit? Or
it's a song coming from Mirrorland.
See, that's what I'm saying is that needed to be, that probably should have been at the, well, and I ended perfectly. But that could have been at the end to tease you into what's coming next. Something of that nature to show what's coming and to get people excited, man.
Swivel,
but,
that was the name of it.
Swivel, yeah, that's the name of the song.
I wasn't mad at that. What's your ranking?
I'm gonna go 3.5, banging. Okay, I think it's a banging album. Very well put together. J. Cole did a great job. I think that this album is going to be the catapult to kind of launch the rest of these guys' careers and become even more names.
You think it did that?
No. This is the start. This is the start of it.
Jid is out here.
No.
Yeah, you just really like Jid. You have to really.
I'm not the only one who says that though.
No, but I'm saying
at all.
No, listen. I think he's talented, but what I'm saying is you're gonna have to take the Dreamville hat off and come in this objectively and think that he do enough if
it's
you had never heard of
it's
him.
Just like
to look forward to his next.
I'm not.
Show.
I swear, if you turn on any rap station after this album, any rap show, they all mention Jid. I guarantee it.
I'm not.
Guarantee it.
Okay, Jid did a good job.
Yeah, what you mean? He stands out.
He did a good job, but I think overall I want to credit Cole. You could very easily lose yourself in throwing shit out here, trying to chase a radio hit with your group albums, even having all those people in the studio just flooding it with big names so it'll stream well. He stuck to what he does. It fits J. Cole. You wouldn't put this in and say this is off-brand. So I definitely commend him for that because that's hard to do. Like you said, it's 30-something features on this album.
Right.
Yeah. Yet it sounds like something right out of Dreamville.
Yeah, it's on-brand. So. They recorded it. Ended up, having to narrow down all them songs.
Yeah, recorded here in Atlanta, Tree Sound Studio.
Oh, that shit crazy.
Yeah. I give it a 4. For reals as well.
Okay. Yeah. Man, it's fire. I'm not going to flex.
Yeah, good album.
Y'all let us know what y'all think, man. Go to Facebook, search for the group Rap Chat. Let us know, how did you feel about this Dreamville? Did it live up to expectations? Did it let you down? All of that good shit. We've got another music break, sir. What we listen to?
Yes. Next on the music, this is your boy Jaden Smith featuring ASAP Rocky Chateau. Free ASAP.
Let's go.
Young Sap.
When I pull up in this, all of the homies don't act like you know me. You playing it close. They claiming it's raining, well, that's what they told me. I told them to show me, I'm ready to go. You niggas baloney, when we get a check, it don't fall like baloney. I thought you would know. Soundtrack of Spider-Man, me and the homies, and shout out to Sony. I'm ready to go. Shit. Ready to go, I'm ready to go. I put in my vote like my senators don't keep the 10 on my toes and my head on a roll. Shit. Look, I never pen in my head is a glove. I swear for the tennis, I'm stressing the straw. Been editing and not, I'm letting them know.
They smoking the gas now. I don't call contact.
That was young Jaden Smith.
Legend.
Featuring ASAP Rocky Chateau. How you feel about it?
I am fucking with it 100%. It's going to take a lot for Jaden Smith to throw something out of me, not to fuck with it. Shout out to him. And what's it, Love Me Restaurant? That
yeah,
he
it's called I Love You Restaurant
Love
Food
You
Truck.
Restaurant. Shout out to him and what he
man,
has
that's
going
phenomenal.
On with that.
Yeah.
It's with all vegan food and he's giving away free food to
free
people
food.
Out
yep.
in L.A. So Skid anything Jaden Smith putting out, man, I'm fucking with it even if it's terrible. Just because of the energy that he brings to the dough.
Is the song terrible to you?
I like the song.
Oh, okay.
I like
what Jaden.
No, the song was hard. And I actually like this project, too.
Yeah, it's a good project.
I've
yeah.
said this once and I'm going to say it again. He makes way better music than you would think Will Smith's son would have made.
Man, Will, right?
I don't know what
that
means.
Man.
But
nah, for real.
Will in the studio.
We don't know
like
what that means.
Shit,
nah, Will coolest, Smith made cookie cutter shit.
He had the coolest
That's
dad
when
in the
was
world.
Young.
It was a different time period.
Not old now. He ended up putting them bars together for
no,
young Jay.
We don't, and no one in here is looking forward to no Will Smith.
You're
I know Big Willie style and none
You're
of that
listening
shit.
To him. That ain't
no.
what all of that shit was for
no.
them. Like,
Jaden is way
bars.
Yeah,
listen,
tripping.
Will Smith is Dale Curry. Jaden is Steph.
Yeah, you think.
What?
Will Smith
I'm
is a legend.
You that. He ghostwriting all of these songs is Will. He just living through Jaden.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Hey, Jaden, go in there and say it just like this.
Ain't no way.
I'm telling you, man.
Will Smith too busy doing Aladdin. She ain't got time to write that shit.
Yeah, but this is a dope record. Like I said, off a dope project.
Damn,
I'm thoroughly satisfied with Jaden and the rapper he's becoming.
Yeah.
The artist he's becoming. And I'm glad that people, he's just being himself. And you, it resonates in his records.
He's becoming more, he's getting his own identity at first. Yeah, when he exactly. first came out, he was on someone on some chameleon type shit, kind of imitating what he
pocket.
Thought was dope. Yeah, he's finding his pocket in his lane. And it got some good production on here too. I'm not going to front. Question of the week. Now, the movie Yesterday that I mentioned that I saw last week that was just some look cool.
Yeah, I'm going to need your answer on this first too.
If y'all don't know the concept of Yesterday, the movie, a guy wakes up from a car accident and the whole world has forgotten the Beatles. The Beatles music doesn't exist. He's okay. a musician. He's struggling. He wakes up. Nobody knows the Beatles music. So he's like, fuck it. I'm going to imitate the Beatles and remember all the songs
oh,
and
so
I'm going to become famous. Yes. He said, I'm going to become famous because nobody knows this shit. The question of the week today, if you woke up tomorrow and you were the only one that remembered a particular artist, whose career would you take? Now, with the caveat of, we don't make beats and shit.
Okay.
So it's one thing, we know the lyrics, but let's just play with it. Let's say for some reason we got access to the beats.
Okay.
Me? I'm taking Master P. What are you talking? Wood grain with the leather seats.
Because that's an easy transition.
Window
100%.
Slow, dog ain't
it wouldn't
need
be a
plan,
lot to remember.
Like see me. You feel
You're talking
me?
About ABC cookie cutter lyrics.
Hustler, baller, gangster,
that's
cap pillar.
I would have took something easy.
Who I be? My bad, go ahead.
Really? I would have took something easier and a lot more melody. Like, I'm taking Nelly. I'm taking Nelly.
Oh, my God.
All my Hot in Here, Air Force
That's a good
Ones,
pick.
Cookie Cutter
You don't know
songs.
The words to them songs like that, though.
I can figure
you have to remember.
Easy. Hot and is good. I'm just going to run around doing that. It's
oh, my
hot
damn.
I'm doing that the whole time. It's,
yeah, that shit is
Air
easy.
Force Ones.
The
you
layup.
Know what I'm saying? So,
bullshit ass
I'm songs. Going Nelly.
Wow. You got to stop with the Nelly disrespect. That's really
crazy.
You are you what?
He's a threat to Drake.
So
that's
Master P
like
can
him.
Rap to you and Nelly can't.
Nelly's a Drake threat. Nelly is a Drake threat. That's why you don't like. Right.
You got to answer for this.
Let me understand this correctly. If, okay. What artist I take? Like,
yeah,
I'm,
whose career would you take? If you
woke
up
stealing somebody's career, basically.
And the world didn't remember, they so and so never existed. But you're like, damn, y'all don't know what Jay-Z? Who?
Yeah, I mean,
you're like,
that's it.
Come on with
New
that.
York. Bet. Running all
like some
shit.
Hot tub time machines. You
basically.
Took, yeah. Damn, Nelly was a good one. Damn, that's
y'all
a good one.
Y'all niggas don't know Nelly lyrics. Like, you got to remember
now,
the
I'm talking
lyrics.
About the overall just experience. Nelly
yeah,
was
I been Nelly.
The man.
Y'all have six million packs, percent. So I don't know how the fuck y'all finna pull that shit off.
In the gym three times a week, sir. You can come work out with me anytime. I don't know. I'm gonna take Tips. I'm gonna take Tips.
Nah, that's fair.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Tips.
That's not a bad career to take.
Yeah,
that's
bad.
Fair.
Minus the gun charges, I'm taking.
I was gonna say you have to do a little jail.
Shout out to the On Decker of the Week for that question, Elgin Oliver on Facebook. That was a super dope question. Elgin, who would you take? I don't think he mentioned that on the show.
Tell us, Elgin, who I mean, you in would
the,
have, sir.
In the group chat, who would you take? Whose career would you run with? Who could you remember the bars and lyrics and be like, oh, let me get that. Now, music break. Well, no, not music,
music
break.
Releases.
New music releases. Yeah. What's out? What's coming out?
Yeah, I'm going to start with last week. We went over, of course, Dreamville. West Side Gunn, and Jaden Smith.
Fly God.
But we didn't, and we also mentioned Machine Gun Kelly last week. But we did not mention Currency and Burner. They have a Fino Grigio.
Anybody listen to that?
Not yet. Okay. It's in the queue. All
right.
For sure. And also, shout out to Zoe Dollaz, the whole FBG Future we see with last.
He's on Future?
Zoe Dollaz, FBG, yeah.
For sure. I didn't know that.
That's why people listen to him.
Yeah, but his project is actually pretty good.
He wrote for Puff.
Yeah, his new one. Yeah, his last year being humble. It's a couple of records I really like.
That's a nice album title.
That's actually, I was about to say, that's kind of dope.
Yeah, and Devin the Dude came out. Still rolling up. Came up. Devin Dude has to be 57.
Still not listening.
Don't matter. Still making hits.
Hits? Yes. I don't know about that.
Devin
the Dude is the original Currency.
Are you listening to this?
I did.
How is it?
It was Devin the Dude.
I mean, I really like Devin.
No, it's like you go into it knowing exactly what to expect. Yeah. It's like smoking music. Like,
yeah, I really like Devin.
He gonna tell funny stories. He got bars. It's Devin the Dude.
Skip.
Yeah, but I'm definitely gonna listen to the Currency project. And like I said, the Zoe Dollaz project is really good.
For sure.
Coming up, the biggest project we got of the week is none other than that boy Big Crit. Crit is here.
Mm.
Not to be confused with Crit was here. Crit is here. Is coming out. He's doing a dope classic rollout. This week in Atlanta, actually, he has a ballet going to the Blue Flame tomorrow night, if
that's
I'm not mistaken.
Dope.
So I definitely will
ballet
be in attendance
at Blue Flame
for that.
So what is this going to be? Strippers doing ballet?
Hey,
we don't know.
Hey, it's Atlanta, man. Anything's possible.
Also,
Juvenile and Birdman are some reason still rapping together. They have just another Gangster Part 2 is supposed to come out.
Jag Part 2.
And Cool Keith is coming out with Keith. Those are what we have.
I don't know which was worse, that Cool Keith or that Juvenile and Birdman. It's crazy that Birdman is able to finesse the system and like drop albums, and Universal is actually paying.
Who is listening to Juvenile and Birdman?
Universal,
there's an age group of people listening. There's an age group of people listening.
What age group?
I don't know.
40-year-old people from New Orleans?
Possibly.
The whole Essence Fest that just ended? Is that what they plan to say?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Also, Damon John has an album out from FUBU.
Who?
From Shark Tank.
I know who he is. Nobody listens to that either.
But, wow. It ain't rap, though. Don't do that. It's like a book.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you said he was rap. He said album.
It's an album, but
it's got instrumentals
on it. It's like Dame Dash did when he did his book.
I listen
Culture
to that.
Culture Vultures.
Yeah, he's
taking just talking over
speeches.
Music.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I thought you meant he was in the booth.
Absolutely not.
He's just been a blackball us from Shark Tank like that.
I'm out.
These niggas was talking about, I'm out.
Yeah. What you got on deck for the weekend?
What's this weekend? I'm slow motion this weekend, man. I'm just trying to push through the summer. It's too fucking hot to do anything, man. It was 100 degrees this weekend.
Yeah, it's hot down here.
Sound like an old man.
Damn. Stay out the sun, homie.
Listen, it's slow down here.
What you got up?
I'm at the movies.
Oh, my God.
Two movies I got to see this weekend.
You keeping the movies open.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do they know your name?
No.
When you go in, they're like, no.
They know my name at the bank. Boom ting.
That was
right.
Cute.
Hey.
That nigga put your little money in. The coin.
Sorry, your name is Mr.
I'm going to see Crawl. That's one movie.
Crawl.
And I got the hookup, too.
Oh,
let's go, P. Let's fucking go, AMC. I'll be there. Meet me there. Who in the A want
like
to meet
DC.
Me? And I got the hookup too. I'm supporting black business.
Where
I
are
like
they
DC
showing it? Where are they showing it?
AMC.
Like how many theaters? Like two?
Maybe. It doesn't matter.
They should have had a premiere down here for that. Because
the premiere was in. No, the premiere was in what's name though? It was in Essence Fest. Yeah.
Yeah, that was smart.
And
nobody
want
to. Listen, nobody going to see that shit.
So y'all didn't like I got the hookup part one?
No. Who goes to the movie theater and watch that?
Wait a minute. Talking about part one was slaw?
No.
Thank
it was okay,
you.
But it's not movie worthy. It's not $14 worthy.
Well, first of all, you need to quit being washed and get the pass.
No,
so you pay a flat fee.
No,
a month.
You're washed because you have the pass.
I go see it because DC Young Fly funny.
He's not that funny.
Ain't he the main?
$15 for Master P. I got to hook up too.
$15.
And I don't go to the movies alone, so that's $40 almost to go.
Go to the man. Go to the man name.
Nah, fuck that.
Yeah, I ain't mad at that. I support P.
Thank you. Support. You see how easy that was?
Yeah, he was on Breakfast Club, Chuck. Them ugly ass shoes. He was.
I ain't supporting them shoes.
Them shoes are trash.
That's an idiotic Zion idea. That's retarded.
Brilliant Zion idea.
Man, fam. Master P couldn't market himself successfully for the last 20 years, and he had $500 million. You think he going to market Zion correctly?
He marketing this I Got the Hook Up too, which I will be at.
No, he only convinced you to go see it.
Biggest No Limit fan
I've ever met in my life. He's only convinced you to go see it, and you have a CD, a book of 1,000 of his CDs.
I'm a No Limitologist. I have
That's
to
why
go
you
see
going
it.
To see it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't trust Peter to market me.
With that being said,
I'm going to. I'll be in Alabama. I got to go visit my mom this weekend. Shout out to Mom Dukes. That's what we're doing.
Is that it?
That's it.
What part of Alabama?
Huntsville. Huntsville, Alabama, home of the Alabama A&M Bulldogs.
Respectable and
Shout
acceptable.
Out all our HBCUs out there, man. We're coming to y'all soon.
We know it's really normal, but we're going to say Huntsville is the same place.
Absolutely.
They know what I'm talking about.
Man, look, y'all let us know. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
Shout out your t-shirt guys.
All of that good shit. Oh, these my guys. Sunday to Sunday. These my people. Shout out to them, man. My homie pulled up to do a live show.
What's going on, sir?
Very respectable. Yeah, follow us. Go to iTunes. Leave a comment, rate, subscribe, do all that good shit. YouTube.com/OnDeckTVPodcast. And we got some special additional content coming very soon. Stay tuned to be first to know about that.
Yes, yes, definitely we do. Also, follow the show page on Deck TV Podcast and comment on the YouTube pages. We would definitely appreciate your comments there as well as on iTunes and join the Rap Chat. Make sure you join in the conversation on Deck TV Podcast. We are out.
Holla.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.